Good morning. It's good to be with you once again. We open the Word of God. You have a copy with you, perhaps. Isaiah chapter 51. Isaiah chapter 51, reading the first 11 verses of this passage. This is the Word of the Lord. Indeed, may He quicken our hearts and open our ears to listen to the voice of our God here in the Scriptures, that we might be men and women and boys and girls of faith. Isaiah 51. Listen to me, you who pursue righteousness, you who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn, and to the quarry from which you were dug. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah, who bore you. For he was but one when I called him, that I might bless him and multiply him. For the Lord comforts Zion. He comforts all her waste places and makes her wilderness like Eden, her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the voice of song. Give attention to me, my people. Give ear to me, my nation. For a law will go out from me, and I will set my justice for a light to the peoples. My righteousness draws near. My salvation has gone out, and my arms will judge the peoples. The coastlands hope for me, and for my arm they wait. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look to the earth beneath. For the heavens vanish like smoke, the earth will wear out like a garment, and they who dwell in it will die in like manner. But my salvation will be forever, and my righteousness will never be dismayed. Listen to me, you who know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law. Fear not the reproach of man, nor be dismayed at their revilings. For the moth will eat them up like a garment, and the worm shall eat them like wool. But my righteousness will be forever, and my salvation to all generations. Awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord. Awake as in days of old, the generations of long ago. Was it not you who cut Rahab in pieces, who pierced the dragon? Was it not you who dried up the sea, the waters of the great deep, who made the depths of the sea a way for the redeemed to pass over? And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. I remember the day very well when I was in my car. I had just entered my vehicle, put it in reverse, and started to back out the driveway. And a neighbor friend of mine yelled over at me. My windows were down. And he said, "Hey, preacher, I want you to tell them two things. In the first place, I want you to tell them what it's like. And then in the second place, I want you to tell them what it's going to be like." Some of the best advice I've heard about preaching. Tell them what it's like and tell them what it's going to be like. And friends, here at Christ Presbyterian, that echoes very well. It fits, it's very suitable and fits well here in Isaiah chapter 51. Isaiah here is the prophet. He is the preacher. He's here some 700 years before the coming of the Lord Jesus. And he's a preacher back here in this long section, this large section of Isaiah, the whole book of Isaiah, chapters 40 on down to 66. And here in these chapters, he's preaching to the southern kingdom of Judah. You'll remember, it's the northern kingdom of Israel, the southern kingdom of Judah. Together as a whole, we refer to it commonly in the Scriptures as Israel. But her kinsmen, the northern kingdom, had already been shipped off in its own captivity. But now here is Judah in its own captivity itself in Babylon. And Isaiah is the preacher in these chapters, and he's calling Judah once again to hope. They've been led away as prisoners and captives, led away from their own land to that foreign land of Babylon. It's the congregation that we now would imagine in our minds here being over in modern Iraq, banished, captives, and hemmed in. And as the preacher, I want you to have an image in mind here. So to speak, we'll find words like this in these chapters in Isaiah, but so to speak, he's playing the role of the metalsmith. He's taken the tongs and the hammer, and he's there at the anvil, bing, bing, You can hear that ball peen hammer, as it were. He has those big leather gloves on. He's protected from that hot furnace. And there he is with that metal, having made it pliable with the heat, is now shaping it. And in so many words, just the metal by itself being pliable is what it's like. And as that hammer works away on that metal to shape it after maybe to be a vessel or an implement or a tool of some kind, he's shaping that vessel or that tool as to what it's going to be used for, what it's going to be like. So have this image in mind here. What it's like and what it's going to be like. And he's that metalsmith with that ball peen hammer over the anvil, that place of working as a smith, shaping God's people for hope. That's our theme this morning, shaping God's people for hope. What it's like and what it's going to be like. I wonder for you, Christ Presbyterian, I wonder for you this morning, what is it like for you? What is it like in these days for Christ Church here for you? When you finally slow down, think with me for a moment. When you finally slow down in the course of the day, or maybe it's in the evening, and you're putting your head back upon the pillow to finally get some rest, where does your mind go? Does it go to your health? Do you go back over the checkbook once again in your mind, trying to wring a few more dollars out, indeed, to pay the bills? Is it a son or a daughter who's on that slippery slope of disobedience? Is it the ache of loneliness? Is it losing sight of God's purposes and you're thinking to yourself, Lord, I don't know. My doubt is overtaking me on this one. What is it like for you, Christ Church? You see, here at the hot furnace at Isaiah 51, God is shaping God's people. He's shaping us after His Son, the Lord Jesus, for hope. So let's take it up in our outline this morning now. What is it like and what is it going to be like? In the first place, what is it like? There is a need. There is a need. Take your imaginary computer, take your mouse, take that imaginary touch screen with me, and when you have your mouse and you hover over the words like these words here. Verse 1, listen to me. Verse 2, look to Abraham. Verse 4, give attention to me. Or look at verse 6, lift up your eyes to the heavens, and so on and so forth. You see, when you hover over those words or you place your fingers there at the touch screen on those words, these words about listen to me, look to me, give attention, these words assume a need. What is it like? God's people have a need. God's people have concerns. They have hardships. What is it like for these people here of Judah? They've experienced now the fruit of oppression. It's the destruction from the Babylonians. It's Jerusalem now destroyed. They've been taken as prisoners. They're now exiled. They've been banished away from their homeland. And you see, this one area of application right out of the top of the Scriptures here in Isaiah 51, even as we look at this assumed area of discussion and teaching, man has a need, women have needs, boys and girls have needs. We're directed to the truth that Scripture speaks plainly. Scripture speaks directly. The Bible talks about disappointment and pain and sorrows. The Bible just pointedly speaks about sin and the fruit of sin, oppression, hardships, harm. Maybe it's feeling alone. We experience that. The Bible opens that to us. It doesn't dodge that bullet, as we say. But we know what it is to be lonely. And we think of ourselves concerning disappointment or discouragement, even despair, and we say it's all around me. It envelops me. It carries me, as it were. We even think about it abiding with some kind of permanence, loneliness, hurt, harm, oppression, discouragement, disappointment. What's the point of all of this? The Bible opens plainly for us a view of sin, a view of man's need that we need to heed. If we're thinking of loneliness, if we're thinking of disappointment, I think of one like the prophet Elijah, 1 Kings chapter 19. He's in a difficult time of ministry. And you have just a summary statement. Here he is, Elijah by himself. I alone am left. What discouragement. And that same person of an image might be with us when we think about how discouragement and disappointment and despair, it just lurks around. It's all around us, enveloping us. And Elijah is one of those earlier echoes of like King David. David himself would say in the Psalms, my tears have been my food day and night. My tears day and night. As well, this disappointment or despair or discouragement, depression, we sometimes think it abides, it lasts, it endures. And we begin to conclude, this is it. There's no way out. We'll conclude secretly in the heart, why should I try? Why even be concerned? I'm stuck. Again, why spend time? Even as we open up Isaiah 51, what is it like? Man has a need. Why spend time? Because Christianity looks straight into the realities of sin and sin's hurt and sin's harm and all of its turmoil. It looks into the reality of sin among men, stirring up hatred, putting down Christians. We know something about that these days. There are attempts to silence the Christian witness of God's people. But the Bible lingers here, and this is part of the good news. God speaks to us straight. God speaks to us in the heart. God takes us, and He says, I will lead you to see rightly what sin and what sin is like and the consequences of sin. And here He's being faithful to us as well. And even most specifically, even here at the time of Advent, as we observe Advent, Jesus Christ came into this world. He came into this world. He was all around the sinfulness of sin. He was all around the ache of hurt and the revilings of men. You remember some of these statements? Isn't this Joseph's son? And he even forgives sins. Why do you eat with those sinful men of that kind of reputation? Why do you eat with them? And then we get these kind of concluding words. They were filled with rage and they discussed what they might do to Jesus. He knows about sin. He knows about the sinfulness of sin. He knows about the backwash and the consequences of sin. Our Savior came into this world. We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who is in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. You see, the Bible is open and plain about such things. I like what the author and the pastor, Ed Welch, the counselor, at one point he said, the primary struggles of life are suffering and sin. Suffering is the trouble that comes to us. Sin is the trouble that comes out of us. And right here with the Scriptures, we're to acknowledge such things. Hey, preacher, be sure you tell them what it's like. But the Bible doesn't leave us here. The Bible doesn't leave us here thinking, I'm alone. There's nothing but this fog all around me. It will never change. It's permanent. He will abide forever. This sin will linger. The Bible doesn't leave us here. Not only when we talk about what it's like and there's need, man's need, but there's also newness. What is it like? There is newness. What is it like? There is promise. What is it like? There's good news. Isaiah 51 at verse 1. Listen to me, you who pursue righteousness, you who seek the Lord. Look at verse 3. The Lord comforts Zion. He comforts all her waste places. You want to talk about renewal and newness? He makes her wilderness like Eden, her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her. Thanksgiving and the voice of song. Give attention to me, my people. Give attention to me, my nation, for a law will go out from me, and I will set my justice for a light to the peoples. Look at verse 5. My righteousness draws near. My salvation has gone out. What is it like? There's not only need, but there is newness. And here at the Advent, we're thinking of the coming of the Lord. The coming of our King. So even here in this passage, for the Lord will come, and what? Bring His comfort. Bring His comfort to the waste places. And those waste places will be turned to a garden. And there will be gladness and joy. You can hear that ball-peen hammer ping, ping over that anvil. It's hope for God's people. How so? God will act in His faithfulness. God will act in truth. His justice will be revealed. His righteousness will be revealed. He Himself will come with that comfort. He Himself will draw near with His own righteousness to His own children in their need. Verse 5, my righteousness draws near. There it is. My salvation has gone out. Newness. And how does His faithfulness get reinforced? Just as He acted for Israel, just as He acted for Judah, so He can be counted on to continue in His faithfulness today. And that's why Isaiah will almost match up, Isaiah the prophet will almost match up with his people and be a voice with his people. That's that identification of the preacher with the congregation. The one with the Word to come alongside of the people in need of the Word and be that voice for them. Look at verses 9 and 10. Be a voice of prayer. Awake, awake. Put on strength, O arm of the Lord. Awake as in the days of old, the generation of long ago. Was it not you? He begins to reason in prayer now. Was it not you who cut Rahab? That's not a reference to the person Rahab, but a reference to old Egypt. Was it not you who cut Rahab in pieces that pierced the dragon? Was it not you who dried up the sea, the waters of the great deep, who made the depths of the sea a way for the redeemed to pass over? He turns to the Lord in prayer, and the people of God are being turned to the Lord in prayer. Why? Why turn to God? Because our God is the God who's faithful to bring deliverance. Listen to Psalm 50. Call to me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. You like that? Walk in that promise this week, people of God. That's what it's like. The access of our God has been made available. Call to me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. Newness. There's a particular image that Isaiah presents to us about newness. Newness for strength, newness for hope. Newness for empowerment, newness for enabling strength, day by day, enabling strength. So many times we'll go to the grocery store or to the mall and or to the hospital, some other building, and just as we're about to open, to approach that door, all of a sudden the doors just open. And that image is that enabling for us. We simply walk and that door will open. We come to the Word of God, even in this prayer that Isaiah has been echoing, awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord. And we're being led in to see how the doors open to us for strength. What is this image, arm of the Lord? He's speaking about God's power for us. In Isaiah chapter 63, in Isaiah 63:11, we read about God's power this way. Then He remembered the days of old, Moses and his people saying, where is He who brought them up out of the sea with the shepherd of His flock? Where is He who put His Holy Spirit within them? Who led them by the right hand of Moses with His glorious arm? That same language. What is this arm talking about? Oh Lord, awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord. The arm of the Lord refers to the person and the power of the Holy Spirit. What is it like? You're not alone. What is it like in newness? You walk in the enabling power of the person of the Holy Spirit. And it all is issued to us, comes to us in the gift of our great God through His Son. Maybe you're here this morning and you just don't have much background with Christianity. We welcome you here. And these words are reminding us, here are the basic foundations of what the Bible is about. Our God is the God of strength. He overcomes sin. He overcomes death. He overcomes the consequence of sin, hell, and judgment and condemnation. That new life is afforded us, bestowed upon us, because He sent His one and only Son into the world, the very Son of Mary, and yet the very Son of God. He's born in this world. He lives for us. And how did He serve His Father? Watch this now. Through faith. Jesus gave Himself unto His Father through the power of the Holy Spirit. Listen to Luke 4. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, Jesus says, because He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. Here is newness. What is it like? The glorious arm of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, sent by the Lord Jesus Christ, is yours. Maybe you're thinking to yourself this morning, and I've had these thoughts over the last 30 or 40 days. I've been ill twice. I open my life to you, congregation. What days of discouragement. Lingering illness. No one cares. Lord, why the disruption in such a lingering way? The doubt, the fears, the turning in on myself, looking at my own strength. But what is it like? Isaiah 51. The glorious arm of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, sent by Jesus, knows my soul, walks with me. He sent His Spirit. The arm of the Lord is in your life. Maybe you're faced with discouragement this morning. Maybe that despair and mild depression or severe depression is all about you. Remove from your thinking that there are no provisions for strength, no provisions for walking with the Lord, no provisions for hope. Remove those things. For the Bible says, His righteousness in His right, He draws near to us, and in His salvation He has provided for us that strength. He's saying, I am here with you. My arm of power by my Spirit is with you. What is it like? Man's need and God's renewing grace. This gift of renewal is received by faith. We turn and we trust God. Lord, I take Your promises. They're mine in Christ Jesus. I give You my darkened heart. I give You my wayward ways. I give You my default position of trusting in my strength, my abilities, my experience. Lord, it's Your arm and Your arm alone in Your Son and by Your Spirit and Your provisions through Jesus. At the cross, at the empty tomb, at His glorious ascension, and the giving of the Spirit to His church, there is my hope and my trust. What is it like? God's renewing grace in Christ Jesus. But what's it going to be like? Our big second question. What's it going to be like? Well, our clue here in this passage of what it's going to be like is that we come across these words called, these words like forever. These words of everlasting. Friends, whenever you're opening your Bibles and you come across those words everlasting, you come across those words forever, you come across those words and never will there be. That's to say that God is opening up unlimited resources, meaning the forever of Scripture is speaking of heaven itself, the glorious presence of our God. It's this forever language. It's this forever language in this passage that helps to see that what God has started, He will bring to full and final completion. What's it going to be like? It's going to be forever. With our God, in His presence, with His people. Look at verse 6, Isaiah 51, verse 6. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look to the earth beneath. For the heavens will vanish like smoke, the earth will wear out like a garment, and they who dwell in it will die in like manner, but my salvation will be forever, and my righteousness will never be dismayed. Look at verse 8. My righteousness will be forever, and my salvation to all generations. What's it going to be like? Look at verse 11. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return, and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads, and they shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Preacher, tell them what it's going to be like. Everlasting joy, sorrow and sighing shall flee away. The Bible here says, my righteousness draws near, my salvation will be forever. It is promised and it's revealed in the first coming of the Lord Jesus. It is promised, everlasting life. It is promised and revealed in the first coming of the Lord Jesus. He is the mighty God, the Prince of Peace. He's born in Bethlehem. That's the fundamental promise of God. And this promise of God's loyalty speaks of faithfulness. How so? God will carry you. God will support you. God will guide you. God will take you up into His arms and carry you in all of His promises all the way through. He gave us the gift of Himself. So I ask you, are you appropriating His arm of strength? Are you walking in Christ in the enabling strength of the Spirit? Jesus came as King. Do we serve His majesty, anticipating that His reign and rule will get the final victory? He came as servant. Do we trust in His service? It's His saving work for us, His saving work in us, as King and servant. One who knows our sins, He entered into our hardships, and yet He is without sin. Do we go to Him as advocate, mediator, comfort, and friend? You see, with the hammer and the tongs and the hot furnace, we're being shaped in Christ and for Christ. And for that final joy in our God and our Savior. And the ransom to the Lord shall return and come to Zion, and singing everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. Friends, I close with these words. What is it like? What is it going to be like? Our ache threatens our walk, but our ache never thwarts His purposes. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. That's what it's like, and that's what it's going to be like. Amen.